This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. We often talk about crime using terms like right and wrong, guilt and innocence. But the North Carolina podcast Criminal is on a mission to show that the truth often lies somewhere in between. Each episode is a documentary-style exploration of a real-life case, ranging from a possible owl attack to a man falsely accused of participating in a child pornography and sex ring. Criminal celebrates its one-year anniversary tonight with a sold-out live show at Motor Cove Music Hall in Durham. And I'm joined now by two of the show's co-creators. Phoebe Judge is the host. She also works as afternoon host on WUNC. Phoebe, good to see you.
Thanks for doing this, Frank.
Oh, happy to do it. Eric Mendel is a producer and co-creator for the show, formerly worked at WUNC, now produces for Gimlet Media in New York. Eric, welcome. Good to have you.
Hi, thanks, Frank.
Phoebe, tell us about the genesis of Criminal.
Well, we've been doing, as you say, Criminal for a year now, and it really started last October. Lauren Spohr, who is also kind of the co-creator, and I had been talking for a while about a crime show and this idea that everyone who listens to public radio probably likes crime. I mean, you can't really not be intrigued by this stuff, but there was no crime show on public radio, and Lauren said, let's do it. We were lucky enough to have just met Eric, and so we began. We didn't really know what it would be or what it would sound like, but we just started off last October with this idea of doing stories about crime, guilty or innocent, victim or perpetrator, the line that kind of separates those two.
The it, that's the it, the thing that it's not just a story about a crime, but you're really investigating that liminal gray space, right, Eric?
Yeah, I think that's sort of the mission with every episode. And I think, you know, we kind of try to do a wide variety of stories and get at that in a couple of different ways. Every episode kind of goes at it differently. But I think that's something that's very important to us, maintaining the possibility that this stuff is really confusing. And oftentimes it is not so simple to sort out for the people involved and certainly not for spectators.
Yeah, let's listen to a clip right now, and we'll talk about it in just a second. Maybe you should set this up, this clip that we're about to hear, Phoebe.
Are we going to hear about the owl?
Yeah.
Well, this was a story that was widely known in the Triangle and in North Carolina, and it dealt with the death and murder of Kathleen Peterson. Her husband, Michael Peterson, was charged with her murder, and he's subsequently gotten out of jail for some technicalities. But there was this odd idea that potentially, it wasn't Michael Peterson who had caused his wife's murder, but it might have been an owl. And it seemed so wild. This whole thing seemed so wild that we kind of had to explore it.
All right, let's listen.
I was getting my haircut one day, and I saw a mannequin of a head that they had a wig on top of the mannequin. So I picked up the styrofoam head so that I could demonstrate. A little while later, I found out that 90% of all owl strikes to human beings are to the head, and they're to the right rear corner of the head. Now, why? We don't know. But they are to the right rear corner of the head, 90%. And that's where these wounds were. So when you take raptor feet and you put them on the styrofoam head, it demonstrates what it looks like, and in this instance, the wounds kind of match up with where these the right rear corner of the head, where this would have taken place.
Now, that's a clip from the first episode of the podcast, Criminal, celebrating its first anniversary with a live sold-out show at Motor Cove Music Hall tonight in Durham. Co-creators Phoebe Judge and Eric Mendel are here. The Peterson murder case, of course, for anybody who's been here in the Triangle for any length of time, a huge case, people following this thing. And again, the plausibility of all of these things, was it an owl attack? Was it a fireplace poker, which was never discovered? A real kind of clue, sort of Perry Mason-esque trial. What drew you to this one, Eric?
Well, I think one of the things that we were interested in this story was not necessarily examining real guilt or innocence here. We're not interested in trying to solve the murder itself. I think what we were interested in is there's this really interesting character and this really interesting storyline that maybe people don't know so much about. And I think we wanted to delve more into that. So the clip we heard was of Larry Pollard, who is a former neighbor of the Petersons. This is sort of his theory. And you know, I think we were really intrigued by it. And like the idea that, you know, whether or not it's true or not, that's not so much what you're interested in. We're kind of interested in pushing that line as to like what is possible.
And the thing about Larry Pollard, whether this is true or a nutty idea, the fact that Larry Pollard has been following this owl theory means that he's been rather ostracized from his legal community. So it's the idea of following this character who, because he believes in this so much, whether it be right or wrong, is now, as he freely admits, kind of laughed at. And what does that mean?
Criminal has gone to the top of the charts in the podcast universe, hovering somewhere between 7 and 3, one of the most popular podcasts out there. And you both have careers in radio, worked on The Story, which was an amazing storytelling vehicle on radio. First of all, what are the challenges in the universe of podcast, and how, if it is it different from radio?
Oh, the challenges, I mean, I don't think the challenges are any greater than radio. But as you say, you know, we all three of us have full-time jobs. And so this is what we do at night. And so there are very long edits late at night where we're all sitting around trying to figure out a storyline, yelling at each other. I'm in a closet tracking. The great thing about podcasting, though, is that it allows us the ability with no time constraints to tell the story. So as you know, as we all know in radio, we have a finite amount of time. The segment's over. In podcasting, I think that what we find is we have this great freedom to say the story should be 19 minutes and 20 seconds. It should be 14 minutes and 10 seconds. And then that's what the story is. And that kind of opens up a whole new world, I think.
Eric, I'm going to listen to a clip from your episode. I'm going to say your episode. We'll talk about the division of labor in this show in a minute. But I think each of you take responsibility for a particular episode. This one is an episode about Kevin Flynn. Would you set it up for us?
Yeah, so Kevin Flynn used to be a journalist. He was a TV journalist, and he is now a crime writer. And while he was still in that last TV journalist job, he got a story. He was basically assigned to the story of Sheila LaBar, who is a serial killer, was convicted of such. And so he was covering that story and in the process got a little too close to his subject. And so this episode and the clip you're about to hear is kind of where that line starts to blur for him.
Sort of early on, she sat down and was very demure and very coquettish and was oozing of Southern charm. And first of all, I could see why men would fall for her and do what she wanted them to do, because she was very flattering. At the end of the conversation, she was trying to get me to find her animals from the farm, her horses, her rabbits.
What do you mean? She's like straight up said, can you go check on my rabbits?
She said, can you find them for me? Yeah. Can you find them for me? And I think the idea was
find
that I
them
was
where?
Wherever they went. I know that one of them is dead. You know, passed away, and I think I shared that with her, and she was, you know, devastated. But she thinks that what I'm going to do is find her animals and hold them for safekeeping, and until she is acquitted and can come home. And that's, you know, sort of where I realized, like, I have been totally sucked in. No, I didn't go looking for the animals. I mean, I wasn't gonna, if I knew where the horse was, I wasn't gonna put it in my backyard.
That's a clip from the 10th episode of the podcast, Criminal. Co-creators Eric Mennel and Phoebe Judge are here now. Eric, tell us about that. That's complicated characters. What drew you to that story? In fact, how did you find it?
So, you know, I think how we found that story was kind of a fan of the show wrote to us, yeah, and was like, oh, my husband and I are crime writers. You know, we should talk sometime. And we did. And we just sort of had a nice little conversation. And this is sort of the story we settled on. It was like not so much their subject matter, they're the things they like to write about. It was more about the person, their personal story. So I think that's how we came about that story itself.
You've had a year now of doing these podcasts. Have you had some episodes where you thought you knew what the storyline was going to be, and then as you got into it, things just kept changing, you know, sort of by the minute, or even once where you sort of overturned the initial storyboard?
I mean, I think that we come to stories a couple of different ways. One being that there's a set story, and we might not know how the story will play out when the episode is over, but we know that there's a story that we want to find. And then there are also characters that we know we want to get on the show somehow. You know, one of the episodes, we talked to a mother and daughter coroner team in Wyoming. She's the only female coroner in Wyoming, and, you know, she's the youngest. And we didn't really know what that story was going to be, but we knew that we wanted to talk about their relationship together. So I think that the most important thing for us is that no matter what the story is, but the characters behind the story are going to let us kind of they're going to be rich enough that we can shape the story and let the story maybe go in a different way than what we initially thought.
Among the geniuses of the podcast, it seems to me, is that precisely that you shine a light on a criminal justice system that has had it wrong perhaps from the start, that it looked at technique, that it operated under a few theories of justice and forgot to look at the characters first. When we look at the characters, we see how flawed the system is. In other words, so much emotion plays a part. A lawyer who knows darn well you shouldn't become involved with your client, that's the rule. He can see that she's manipulative and yet gets caught. Well, if these are the people we're dealing with, then how do you build a criminal justice system that actually fairly treats them? And you shine a light almost by extension on the disconnect between the system and the people who operate it. I mean, was that part of the thing? Look, first of all, this could be me seeing faces in the clouds, so that's my interpretation of it. But is any part of that kind of what you went into it with, or do you come out of your series thinking that way?
Yeah, I would say not so explicitly about the criminal justice system itself, but I think, like, you know, we are the criminal justice system, right? And I think as the listener, like, I think some of our stories, we do try to take you on that sort of journey to say that, like, you know, as we take you through this person's experience, as this person's story, how are you judging them as a listener? How are you, like, going through that story with them? So I think in that regard, like, you know, people may come out of the story feeling maybe I rightly or wrongly judged this person the way I entered it. Maybe those expectations have been upset in some way. So I think that's something that we do tend to think about is like, how is this going to affect the listener as an experience? Yeah.
And the criminal intent, the criminal potential, I guess, in all of us is something that you can't escape in listening to these episodes.
Yeah. And I think that that's what we wanted to show. I mean, we have, as you say, done episodes about serial killers and very serious crimes, but we've also done episodes about grad students at NYU who get wrapped up in counterfeiting $20 bills because their boyfriend likes it. That's something that I think most of us would much easier become than a counterfeiter than a serial killer. And then we love to do that, you know, to let people draw their own conclusions. Would I ever be in a situation? Am I a criminal? So we are always trying to look at that.
No, again, as I say, it shines a light on this dance that we do around criminality. I would never be a counterfeiter because that's illegal and only counterfeiters counterfeit. And I've got a picture of counterfeiters. However, if my girlfriend was just doing this thing and it was kind of working and it was late at night, well, would I make a few bills and go spend them? Oh, that I would do. I mean, so a terrorist, I would never be the United States could never be a terrorist. But if they commit activities that look like that, well, my goodness, the United States isn't wearing a beard and a turban, but look at what it's doing. It's that kind of thing that I think you expose.
Yeah. I mean, how many you print. Five $20 bills, does that make you a criminal? No, I didn't print six. The five is safe. It's only $100. I'll be a criminal when I print 120.
Your most recent episode, Phoebe, a heart-wrenching story about a man who was falsely convicted of being part of a child pornography sex ring. We were going to play a clip. Would you set it up for us?
Oh, this is a very recent story. It's something that probably people might have heard. This is a man named Tommy Wall who was arrested in June of this past year and charged with, I think, arguably one of the most severe crimes, which is child rape and pedophilia. And this is a clip of him talking about what it was like to finally realize that this wasn't just someone saying he had been acute. You know, he heard his name on the news. They said, Tommy Wall, we're looking for him. He called up and said, I'm Tommy Wall. What do you need with me? I want to settle this. He gets to the police station and this happens.
I went to a holding cell. And I spent the day there and spent the night. And the next morning, I got up and they took me to court. That's when I went for my first court appearance. And then in front of the judge, the DA read all the charges. And then the judge looked at me. She says, you know, you've asked for a court appointed lawyer and everything. I said, yes, Your Honor. And she says, you know, that these charges carry life in prison without parole. And I was like,
What are the charges? What are you hearing the judge read?
You know, assisting rape and child molestation and then, you know, solicitation of sex with minors.
Officially, the charges were first-degree rape of a child, first-degree sex offense against a child, and felony conspiracy.
You know, they're saying all these charges, and I'm just, like, shaking my head. I'm like, something ain't right.
Well, that's a clip from the most recent episode of the podcast, Criminal. Co-creators Eric Mennel and Phoebe Judge are here with me now. How did that case come out?
Well, Tommy Wall spent the next 105 days in jail, and it was found out that he was never involved. His charges have been expunged. But the question that we were interested in is not so much how this happened, but rather what happens to this guy now? What happens to a guy who's lost his house and his job? And can you ever shake that label of child rapist, right? I mean, we know he's expunged, but it's all out there. You write Tommy Wall and it's Tommy Wall charged with rape. So how do you recover from something like that? That's what we were really going for with that episode.
How do you account for this popularity in criminal podcasts and material in general? We know the wild success of Serial on public radio, the podcast that's going. If you go to Long Reads, many of their kind of long-form journalism, The most popular tend to be about crime. What do you think is going on there, Eric?
Yeah, I think Serial had a big effect on the podcasting world in general. And so I think, we've definitely benefited from that. I think another big thing for us specifically has been inclusion in Radiotopia, which is a podcast network of shows that are a lot like ours. Shows like 99% Invisible, The Truth, Love and Radio, these other sort of long form podcasts. I think what we're seeing right now is there's this really great moment in audio in making these kinds of stories where there's the space, the digital space and the access to this content through the iPhone, through your smartphone. There's this great moment where there's just so much of this stuff, and the good stuff is starting to kind of rise to the top. People are looking for these kind of connections. That's what Radiotopia has been really beneficial for Criminal in terms of like associating us with these other really great shows. There's been a lot of cross promotion, and there are other networks like this starting to pop up as well. So it's been like a really good time, I think, in that regard.
Well, go ahead, Phoebe.
Yeah. I mean, people love crime, right? This is rich stuff that you. It's not boring stuff. And I think that we feel really lucky that we started something at a time when there weren't so many crime podcasts. And so that's given us a big help, too.
Yeah, well, and the quality does matter. I mean, it's not just a matter of people latching on because of the success of another one, because there have been many imitators since then. And I think what you're doing is great. And you're going to be at Motorco tonight. It is sold out. But tell us what you're going to do anyway for those who are lucky enough to get in. What will they see?
Yeah, it's something, because I'll tell you, we all thought five people would show up. So this was a big surprise to us all. I think what we're going to do is show people a little bit about how we make a story. And so a lot of this happens with Lauren and Eric, myself hunched over computers in a living room late at night. And what we want to do is kind of say, hey, here's how it happens. So we'll be live mixing the show. I'll be narrating live. Eric will be doing a piece. We'll have a montage of all our episodes. And we'll also have some people telling their own stories.
Yeah, getting people to confess to their own crimes would be so cool. I mean, a couple of beers at Motorco, and who knows what you
It might get crazy tonight.
What's the future? Radio, you're off to do production in New York with podcasts, Eric. And I just kind of wonder what the future of radio, podcast, do these worlds come together? Does radio kind of wither from the vine? What do you think it's all headed?
I'd be a rich man if I had like the answer to that question. I think there's like a really special place for both podcasting and radio right now. And I think what you're seeing is that both worlds, be it digital audio and podcasting or in terrestrial public radio, starting to benefit from each other. You're seeing more experimentation in public radio, but also most of the best podcasts out there are coming from people who work or have experience in public radio. And so what you have are these two separate worlds that I think are really starting to benefit each other.
Great stuff. Congratulations. Thanks so much for being on the program. Eric Mendel, Phoebe Judge, two of the co-creators of the podcast Criminal. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
The show is celebrating its first anniversary tonight. It's a live event at Motor Music Hall in Durham. That event is sold out, but you can find out more information about the show at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, comedian Hari Kondabolu. Hari is waiting right there in the green room. Just heard me mispronounce his name. But he's a comedian, so he'll make a joke about it. Stay tuned.